of our culture, well, the culture under you. You think he's great?
He's got to 1,000%.
He was smoking dope. You smoking?
I mean, like,
I'm curious. Now you're explaining.
So, Drake came out in what, 08? It's 2023. Like, he changed the sound of hip hop.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Right. Yeah, for sure.
He's literally ran every summer.
Did Jay-Z change the sound of hip hop?
Absolutely.
Or he kind of like paid homage to a lot of pieces of hip hop.
Everyone wanted to be like Hov. Everybody tried to sound like Hov.
I mean, Hov, he said this, so we paid homage to a
bunch of pieces of hip-hop. The only reason why the only comparison that for me, for you to say Meek, is that like Meek is more connected to the streets.
That's probably the biggest reason though.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like from a hip hop cultural perspective.
When you say culture, what do you mean by that?
Like the way Drake touches culture is the way Hov touched culture. You know, I think Drake is the closest thing we've seen to Hov when it comes to like dominance and runs in the rap game.
I say Meek only because
and to be honest, I put Wayne there before I would put Meek. Like, if we're talking about like for your generation, Wayne is more of the next to Jay than Meek is.
Wayne came out at 12, right? He was born in 86, how?
Something like that.
Yeah. He was born in 91, it's like 5 years, right? So I only do not say Meek because I've specifically seen Meek with the nappy braids, right? Like in the trenches, I mean Flamers, right? Before the Dream Chasers, Flamers mixtape and shit like that. So I see him talking shit like, man, I want Nicki and then get her. You feel me? Like, I feel like when I speak to people about Jay-Z, they seen the same. They seen him like back when his hustling days. Like Drake came out on TV. Like, yeah, he was like, I'm not taking nothing away from Drake. He's like you said on steroids. He's out of his world. He's not even like, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to music, I'm 100% with you. But when I talk about the culture, like Meek was that guy that little niggas from the hood look at like.
Did he run 10 summers?
Meek, 10 summers? When you say run 10 summers, like if we can't compare it to Drake, come on. That's not fair.
Why is it not fair?
Fuck the 10 summers. When I'm talking about a nigga in the hood looking at somebody that's successful, I'm talking Meek.
All right. And every summer, the niggas in the hood, when they went to the club, what was they listening to?
They probably listened to Drake for sure.
Not like that.
But that don't work. I don't know. So you think Drake is here or what? Yeah, you think.
Boy. Now, it sounds like there's a lot of saltiness and 50% bitterness coming from DJ Drama on that episode of the Jay Hill Podcast. And shout out to the boy Jay Hill Podcast. That's the podcast clip that I use. If you're not familiar with him, check him out. Definitely, he also does podcasts, obviously, and put out great content. So check him out wherever you listen to podcasts and or on YouTube. Shout out to Jay Hill. Now, Meek versus DJ Drama, I probably never thought I'd see the day, but to bring everybody up to speed on, you know, the clip I just played, I gotta give you the backstory, the true backstory of this whole situation. So, remember back in the day, you know, when Meek, was Meek in his prime, I would say Meek was in his prime at this point. Obviously, Drake was in his prime, but, you know, we did a song together called Rico. The album came out, Dreams Worth More Than Money. Yeah, that's a sophomore album, definitely. But that album came out, Drake didn't post it on Instagram or tweet about it. And Meek, he started like a series of tweets, and this was started the whole Twitter fingers thing, but we're gonna get there. But basically, he's saying, stop comparing me to Drake. He don't even write his own lyrics. And we found out that's why he, you know, post my album when it came out to show love. So that stirred up the rap game for a minute. You know, then Drake goes on to drop what Charged Up. Then, you know, the legendary Grammy winning song. I think the only Grammy winning diss song in hip hop, but don't quote me on that. But he goes on to drop that, and he goes on to OVO Fest to just put the nail in the coffin with all the memes and everything he was doing at the time. But it was definitely a different time in hip hop, and that beef was kind of good for the modern day era of hip hop, considering, you know, there wasn't a lot of you know, beef stuff going on. A lot of rappers were buddy buddy, and that's kind of what led to the whole Kendrick, you know, Control verse, whatever. But that's a whole nother story within itself. Let's keep on topic. So it's basically Meek versus Drake. But around this time, obviously, you know, Drake had some, well, DJ Drama, ironically, had some problems with Drake. And it's kind of the same, it's definitely the same problem now that we're talking about with him and Meek. But at that time, you know, DJ Drama had found out that Drake had slept with his girlfriend at the time. So when this whole Meek and Drake thing was going on, he's the one who, you know, I ain't gonna say found or whatever, but was, I don't know how to put it, able to get in contact with Quentin Miller or whatever. And then, you know, got him on the phone or whatever, and he was trying to say, yo, did you write for Drake? And he was saying no, and DJ Drama was getting mad. Quentin Miller was basically saying that collaborated with Drake, and he didn't, like, they worked together. He didn't write those songs for him on If You're Reading This It's Too Late, which I feel like is one of the better Drake albums, but whatever. So yeah, DJ Drama played a whole, like, a role in that whole Ghost Rider claim, which seems to this day, like, is, like, you know, what people hold against Drake. That and the Pusha T beef is what they hold when they talk about the GOAT, or is he the most impactful or dominant hip-hop figure or just in music. So that kind of what keeps him out of that conversation even to this day, those two things. And just to think that, you know, Meek and Drama was rocking pretty heavy, like, they always had, like, a, you know, respectable relationship, at least from the fan standpoint. Because he's definitely on, I would say, what, the first three Dream Chaser mixtapes, which gave it that type of, you know, every time you get DJ Drama on your mixtapes, definitely back in the day. But now he's more on, you know, like, albums or, you know, whatever, making his own albums. He was on Tyler last album, Call Me If You Get Lost, and it kind of added that mixtape feel I was used to, you know, growing up, like, guys selling mixtapes, and, you know, like, Lil Wayne Dedication and stuff like that. That whole series, which is legendary itself. So DJ Drama, you know, being working with Meek at that point, kind of like puts that battery in the back of artists to, like, you're hot or you one of those guys. So to have DJ Drama on Dream Chasers 1-3, I felt like was the, you know, what they would say, the chef's kiss as far as the hip hop standpoint. But hey, I thought they had, like, you know, a respectable relationship as the artist and the DJ. So Drake smashes DJ Drama girl, and, you know, around this time, you know, Drake is, this is like, this is back in the day, like I said, it's like 15, 16, 17, I want to say. This whole thing lasted like a 3-year span, I would say. And that For Free song came out, and Drake, like, that whole beef, he referenced it in a couple, like, mainstream hits. Because he definitely, like, referenced it in the song with Rihanna, Work, and that was like 2016. I think so. And but yeah, it was just like, you know, something way less friendly. I got niggas trying to end me. Obviously, that was a reference to the whole Meek Mill exchange. But in another mainstream hit by DJ Khaled called For Free, I want to say is 2016 or 17, still around that time. So it's a double entendre, because, you know, he says, last year I had Drama girl, not right now. Obviously, you know, it's again with the Meek Mill beef reference, but he's literally saying in that line, he had Drama's girl, like, he had DJ Drama's girl, and he, you know, piped her out, you know, like, you know, sent her home in an Uber or whatever, like, you know how Drake get them. So that happens. You know, so that's the whole backstory behind it, and I'm gonna bring you up to speed about why this clip is how it sounds in the J Hill podcast. So, as you heard in the opening soundbite on the J Hill podcast, basically J Hill asked DJ Drummer, who do you think is more like H to the Izzo, Hov, the God MC, Sean Carter, Jay-Z himself? And I hate these type of questions, me, because no man can be another man. Like, there's no way. I get what you're trying to say as far as, you know, accolades and as far as music and stuff like that, or as far as sales, or as far as lyrical ability. But nobody can fully be another man. And Drama, you know, it comes off as very bitter, as you heard. He says, you know, his Drake is more like Hov. I mean, he dominated for 10 summers. You know, he come through on that summer. You know, he always have a smash that plays all summer, you know. And that's kind of true. But I still never say, like, he's Jay-Z. I mean, that's just a whole different type of thing. He also goes on to say, you know, he changed the sound of hip-hop. You know, cultural impact. He has that. He came in, like, 08. Still dominating in 23, which is definitely true, you know, but I still wouldn't go as far as to say he's more like Hov. Like, that's like a, you can never say somebody is more like somebody or they're the next somebody, because then it's just an unfair conversation after that, because, you know, Jay-Z career is already set in stone on a music level, and he could come through any one of these years and give somebody verse of the year, as well as just, you know, flourishing in the business world. And his catalog is, as far as like his whole catalog, music, influence, and business, is still very much growing as, like, with time, as he gets older, and it only gets greater and greater. And Drake is like, what, 35, 36, something like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't compare what Drake is doing, obviously, for one. In my opinion, I can't compare, like, he's like 50, you know, like, not saying, like, not like 50 Cent, but like 50-50, like a hybrid, you know, can sing, he can rap, like, it's split, you know, either you love him as a whole, or you love the pop side more, or you love the rapping side more, and he never gave us, you know, a 100% full hip-hop album. It's always been cut 50-50. So that itself would eliminate me for even putting him in that conversation, you know. I would feel, you know, if I had to pick somebody, it would be along the lines of, you know, Meek Mill, Kendrick Lamar, you know, J. Cole. Even Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole had their moments where they did stuff that was, you know, kind of like alternative rap or whatever. People want to call it, you know, like, less rapping, more singing type thing. I think everybody, you know, did stuff like that. But then again, it goes to the cultural impact and, you know, change the sound that Drama said about Drake. You know, a lot of artists wasn't doing that, unless you're talking about, like, back in the early 2000s, where, like, Ja Rule and guys like that. I mean, he kind of, you know, was that first guy to, you know, get on both sides like that. But it was from, like, a gangster, thug type guy from the streets of Queens, you know. So that was different within itself, you know, just the background of Ja Rule had. But Drake was the first, I wouldn't say clean cut guy, because he got some lyrics in there, you know. The homies might catch a body and stuff like that. So I don't know, but it just was different with Ja Rule versus Drake. And, you know, it made it seem like, you know, anybody could do that and have that, you know, 50-50, you know, melodies and, you know, duets and stuff like that with other singers. He just kind of took it to a whole nother planet. So that's a valid point, I would say. But still, I wouldn't give him the nod in a Jay-Z conversation. But whatever. Obviously, you know, Meek, he heard what we just heard in the opening soundbite, and he responded to the clip on Twitter with a very, very, very cryptic tweet. He said, "Trauma been a goofy over these hoes. He always, like, he been talking down on me." And he says, "I tore him up in the A." Like, he tore him up in the A. I don't know what that means. I mean, obviously, people, a lot of trolling, like, tore him up in the A, like, I hope he's talking about Atlanta or somewhere. because that just that line itself is very crazy. I hope he's talking about, you know, they had a tussle or something like that in Atlanta. You feel me? Because tore him up in the A is just like, wow. Like, what are you talking about, bro? But whatever. So another reason of this whole, like, you know, Meek and DJ drama, like beef or whatever, you know, DJ Drama recently put out an album. You know, we had different artists up there. You know, I can name a few. West Side Gun, you know, Jack Harlow, of course. Lil Uzi, of course, you know. And speaking of Lil Uzi, another thing Meek Mill didn't like was, you know, everybody knows how important, if you go to a function, whether you're at the club or wherever, or a house party, a kickback, or whatever. One thing for sure, they will play Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmare. That song has been out over a decade, and it's still making its way into functions today. Like, it's crazy. So basically, DJ Drama, you know, Lil Uzi, and, you know, Jack Harlow are signed to him and DJ Don Cannon Generation Now label. So basically, he was trying to pit the song, Lil Uzi Vert, I Just Wanna Rock, versus, you know, Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mill, saying, you know, it's a bigger version, and that's like the party song now or whatever. But that's another thing Meek Mill took aim at in his series of tweets. But the whole, I think, like I was saying, Drama was putting out an album like some months ago. He had some Tiny Desk stuff he wanted to do. I guess he wanted Meek Mill, you know, to make a cameo, but Meek wasn't trying to do it. That's another reason, you know, they're at odds right now. And the whole him, Meek, smashing his girl now, and him being more on the side of Drake after Drake did this back in the day, it's just very ironic to me. It just seems kind of like on some female shit to me, because it's very, like, just bitter. Like, it's just that type of time. And I don't know. It's just very funny how these three, Meek Mill, Drake, and DJ Drama, have this whole thing. And somehow Drake is still in the mix. Even one, Meek Mill and Drake are on good terms. But it's just some regular industry shit to me. And that's my take on it. I mean, everybody know how the industry is. Everybody know, you know, basically these rappers, producers, DJs are basically just going to Pound Town with the same, like, 16 chicks in the industry. I mean, this is bound to happen. I don't understand why this is the outcome of all that. But I can also understand, you know, Meek Mill, him not, like, really addressing him outside of the cameras and podcasts and stuff, and just, like, literally talking down on him. You feel me? Like, really not giving Jay Hill time to, like, he just didn't give him time to respond to what he was saying, just eating him up on his own podcast with, you know, negative, like, shade towards him while building up Drake. You know, that just didn't look very cool at all. So I can understand, you know, Meek Mill on that standpoint, you know. But like I said, this is just regular industry shit. And, you know, the male ego is definitely very fragile, and that's another key component in this whole thing, whether whoever smashed DJ Drama's girl, you know. Of course, that you don't feel a type of way about that. Of course, you know, rather you're cool with the guy, or, you know, cordial, or have a close relationship with him, that's definitely something that's going, you know, eat at you, definitely. But like I said, this was very, like, bitter and petty, in my opinion. It kind of like some female love and hip-hop type bullshit, or male love and hip-hop type drama, you know, that, you know, we see on these reality shows, and not something that I want from, I could say, you know, two legends in hip-hop, respectfully. Like, this is not the type of stuff I want to see from these two guys. And like I said, they collaborated on some very great mixtapes, in my opinion, that I still, like, listen to today. Like, Dream Chasers 2 is, like, some shit I always go back to, you know. Because, you know, it's just like a moment in time. So, to see all this shit play out like this, like I said, yo, this is, you know, niggas gotta do better, man. It's kind of like some whole female shit and whatever. So that's my take on it. And stay tuned for the ad at the end of this bonus content. Much love. Peace. So if you want more from me and this podcast content and more bonus content, then it's easy. All you have to do is go to Spotify, Spotify only, type in Money Gang Pod, look at the description, and hit the link to subscribe. And doing so will get you video versions of the podcast, as well as extra bonus content such as game reviews, show reviews, album reviews, and stuff like that. So, like I said, go to Spotify, type in Money Gang Pod, go to the description, hit see more, and hit the link in the description to subscribe.